Hey, I'm Nicole.
I'm Monica.
And we're two fangirls who like to talk about media and knit. This is our podcast, While We Were Knitting. This month, we watched Hustlers. For this month's podcast, I was knitting Spooky Season, which is a colorwork cowl by Jocelyn Tunney.
And I started knitting the nesting cardigan, or rather I had every intention of doing it, and then I got so involved in the movie I just could not continue my provisional cast on. So the nesting cardigan is by Mayan Williams, and then I moved back to my Jane Jacobs shawl by Kristen Kapoor, knowing that I could do that fairly mindlessly.
Very cool. Well, I actually, funny thing is I cast on with one size of needles and just was doing the rib at the beginning and finished the movie, looked at my project and was like, this is the size of a baby hat, and ended up taking it out and ripping all of it out. So like, pretty similar. Like, I started that. I have now restarted it, but I did not get very far in that. So to talk a little bit about Hustlers, the movie that I'm really glad to hear we both loved, because if you didn't love it, I was going to be like, this is going to be an awkward podcast. but it's a movie about strippers, starring Jennifer Lopez as Ramona and Constance Wu as Destiny, aka Dorothy. They meet working at the same club in 2007 and reunite after the financial crisis. They start earning scams on Wall Street Bros, becoming more and more financially successful while the risks increase. Also, they are in love, and Jennifer Lopez legitimately should have won an Oscar for this movie.
You know, I do not disagree with you. It's not the kind of movie I'm actually really, just like, you know, just like Newsies, I'm really glad you suggested it, because it was a movie I had never seen, and I probably actually had no intentions of seeing it. Not least because my mother was like, oh, Monica, that is a horrible movie. You should never watch it after she had watched it. So I'm really glad you chose it. And you know what? I completely agree with you that she was phenomenal. And no joke, they had those vibes right from the beginning.
Oh my God. Let me see. I think I sent you a text when I was watching this movie for the first time. I've now watched it three times in the last 2 months. And I said, this movie is so good. I'm so happy. And then I sent you like 10 minutes later, these women are in love.
You did. That was exactly what you sent me. Correct.
It's a great movie. And I feel like the movie knows that they're in love. The movie is kind of like non-committed about whether it's like a romantic love or more of a familial love. But like the movie's definitely like, this is the most important relationship in these two women's life.
Oh, and, yeah. No, yeah. 100%. I mean, Ramona carries around a picture of Dorothy in her most precious things, and it was from a time before they even met.
Yeah.
I mean, no, come on.
Okay. So also, Constance Wu, like, knocked out of the park in this movie. She's a delight in everything. I've only, seen her in a couple of things, but she's been a delight in everything I've seen her in. And Julia Stiles is, like, the casting in this was great. All the casting was great. Like, yeah. Julia Stiles as the reporter, also really good. Just, like, very perfect for that very understated role. But when Julia Stiles is talking to Ramona at the end of the movie, and they're, like, going through that little packet of her precious things, I thought she was going to pull out a picture of the Christmas party. I was like, oh, you know, that was set up as this big, like, emotional climax of the movie, and they were all so happy, and they were, like, a family together. And she's like, no, this is a picture of Dorothy when she was 10 because I love her. And I was like, so.
I totally thought they were going to pull out. I was like, this is either going to go two ways. It's either she's going to pull out a picture of that Christmas party, and everyone's going to go, aw, or she's not going to mention Dorothy at all, and I'm going to be so sad. So I'm happy that it went an entirely different direction from that.
It's like throwing everything at you. The other thing, just speaking of casting, I love all the little cameos in this movie. Like Cardi B as one of the strippers in the 2007 club, which was just like there. She was on it. She was great. And Usher was in the movie for like maybe 30 seconds, a minute. But it was the perfect Usher cameo to be like, in 2007, what big music person would come into a strip club and have everyone lose their goddamn minds?
Yes, yeah.
Correct.
I admit I don't know most music people, so I did not recognize people like I remember looking at some of the strippers and being like, y'all look familiar. No idea who you are. And then I was watching the credits. I was like, oh, that was Cardi B. Oh, that was Rizzo.
Yeah.
Usher, I recognized.
Lizzo playing the flute for that girl's new boob job. That was very good. I enjoyed that a lot as well. Yeah. She's a delight. Actually, I don't see a lot of live music, but tangentially, I would recommend a Lizzo concert. That's one of the few live concerts I've seen in the last 10 years, and I just screamed my head for the entire thing. It was great. So,
I have heard that that is an experience.
Yeah. The other thing that I really, I loved everything about this movie, just everything beginning to end. But the other thing that I thought they did really well was the pacing of just this is the notes we're going to hit, and also focusing really well on what they cared about. They were just we don't care about men. They're in this movie. There's one good man. His name is Doug. You'll meet him at the end of the movie.
Yeah.
No other good men. I was you know what? I respect that. And also just the way they placed it in time, and it's based on a real true story. So obviously they were it's happening in 2007 because in real life, this is when it happened. But also just being having the financial crisis in that point where they're this is a huge rupture in both of these women's lives, as well as the industry that they're part of, as well as just everybody. I remember 2008, the financial crisis. I was oh yeah, that was a terrifying year. So, just having that as this point of turning in the movie was really, really quite good.
For me, it was really interesting because obviously we know how the financial crisis affected Wall Street, and we know how the financial crisis affected the everyday person. I don't think I ever really thought too much of how the financial crisis would affect things like bars and strip clubs and things where, people dropping a lot of money sort of carelessly is the entirety of their industry, and the fact that, when Dorothy came back, Destiny came back to the club, it was entirely populated by Russian girls who were willing to do things that she would never have ever contemplated for mm-hmm. what for her would have been an insignificant amount of money a couple of years ago. Just the sort of changing circumstances in their lives and how the highs were so high and the lows were so low.
I think the other thing that they did really well is the strip club is not in the entire movie. Eventually they branch out and they're we don't want to split our profits with a strip club. And that is also a really big turning point, because that's when things become less safe, mm-hmm. is the way that I think all the dancers interact with the club and the management. They're this is not a healthy relationship. These women by and large have very little power. When at the beginning of the movie, when Destiny starts working at, I don't even remember what it's called, begins with an M, starts working at that club.
Moves.
Yes. Yeah. Correct. Thank you. And she has to give money to the management. And Cardi B at one point is shouting at the manager to be you do nothing. You just take all our money and you take sexual advantage of us. And I can't believe that, blah, 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 which was also, again, a great Cardi B little cameo. But the fact that when they move to hotels and their apartments and their offices, they're this is actually worse. This is less good. And I was oh no. So that was interesting to think about the tension there, where they're we don't really have a good relationship with management, but being one-on-one with these men is presents a bigger issues of their own almost.
Oh, wow. I remember when they were narrating that, I was oh no. Oh, there's nowhere good that this could possibly go. I mean, there's not there is no protection here. There is nothing.
No.
Yeah.
And I appreciate that they showed it, but also they were the harm that comes to these women, we don't, I felt the women that the movie was, very protective of them in certain ways. They were no, these are the heroes of our story, and, bad things are going to happen to them, but your sympathy is always going to be very firmly with them, even when they're doing bad things to other people. And I was yeah, good, correct. I also really enjoyed when they went to the house to pick up the guy who jumped off his roof.
Oh my god.
Quite funny. It was like the part with the cop was terrifying. I was yes. like, oh no, they're gonna get caught. And the way that the three of them like were acting, you were like, you could feel how scared everybody was. And then it just moves on. And Kiki Palmer punches the guy in the face. That was very funny. And then they got to the hospital and she's wearing, you know, still her heels and that little one piece. And she just, no! And then runs off into the distance just in her heels and one piece. I was like, Kiki Palmer, you're killing it in this movie. So that was also really fun. But
it was a well-placed moment of levity in what was sort of a horrifying sequence. Like when they stumble in and there's this guy like flat on his belly, buck naked on the floor. I'm like, oh my God, he's dead. Oh my God, they're all going to go to jail because he's dead. He was not dead. But yeah, like those little moments, like whacking him in the face when he dead guy wakes up, or, you know, unloading him from the car, and, you know, Kiki's like, Mercedes goes running off, both hands in the air, butt waggling. It interspersed them because it could have been a real dark movie. Yeah. It really could have. And it was, but you're right. The fact that in many ways, especially in the sort of middle sections of the movie, they treated it as a game and a triumph, mm-hmm. helped you sort of feel good for them, even though you know what they're doing ain't good.
It's not great, but the movie's like, listen, do you like these guys? Julia Stiles is like, I don't like these guys. I don't blame you. And so when Destiny says, like, I feel bad about it, you're like, oh, really? And I think she mostly felt bad about Doug. Who, again, is the one good man in this Correct. Entire movie.
Right.
Because even what's-his-face is like, I need to sneak off from my wife to take this call from this woman I used to flirt with. And you're like, is that great choice, Steve? I think his name is Steve.
Steve, yeah. I think so, Steven. But that's the thing. All the men are so disposable.
Yeah.
Like, it, like, there's the creepy architect who, like, I was like, oh, I would scam him. I mean, like, I would take him for all he's got. He's not a worth human being.
No. And that was, I think a good choice by the movie, or a choice by the movie that I enjoyed. And then the other thing that I really like, I loved everything. I keep like saying the other thing. I'm like, everything was good. Just, I was so happy. But I like that her Johnny, like Destiny's partner, boyfriend, mm-hmm. person, like Ramona's very skeptical from the beginning. She's like looking at him through her big shades and you're like, oh, Ramona does not approve this.
No.
And then he's like, I'm going to take care of you. And then you're like, no, he's not. And then like 5 seconds later, they're having an argument and she kicks him out. And it's like, oh yeah, no, the movie needs you to know at one point there was a man, they had a baby, he sucked. Yeah. And the movie is not going to spend the time that it does not need or want on this. I think they spent more time trying to figure out how to cook drugs in their William and Sonoma-ass kitchen. Great kitchen. Beautiful kitchen. Than it did being like, this is the father of Destiny, Dorothy's child. So I did appreciate that the movie was like, what do women care about? They like shopping. They like being with their friends. They like having money. Men are not high on that priority list. I'm like, yeah, that tracks. That tracks my life.
yeah. But I do appreciate that, you know, even though it was very clear that these people were sisters, they were together, they were family, you know, there were definitely moments where they did not like each other. And there was that whole idea of, you know, we work together, we love each other. We have big Christmas parties together where we invite all of our family members and our kids and hang out together. And yeah. When things go wrong, they go wrong.
They went wrong. And having now watched the movie 3 separate times, again in 2 months, because I love this movie, my current hypothesis about the movie's stance on greed is that it doesn't necessarily think greed is bad. Like, the characters are not experiencing negative consequences for being like, I want to have money, I want to have nice things. Ramona's living in that beautiful apartment mm-hmm. on a penthouse, and that's not presented as a bad thing. Kind of where things start to sour is when they start to move away from the club, and when Ramona starts, and I mean, Destiny a little bit, I think you see it most in the character of Ramona starts placing the money above the relationships that she has with yeah. these women. And that's kind of when it turns and everything starts getting like scary and bad. And the relationship between Destiny and Ramona starts falling apart. And then at the end, when Destiny takes the deal that the cops offer them, I think the reason that the movie kind of says is like, okay, partially because she's worried about her daughter and the motivation that she's always saying, but I think is a lie. Mm-hmm. We'll go back to that. She's always like, I just want to be independent. I just want it to be me and Lily against the world. So like, I think it's kind of a lie, but she takes that deal. But I think part of it is that she doesn't trust Ramona anymore. She's like, you put making money and running these totals up ahead of our safety. Even though, you know, Ramona was still there for her when her grandmother died, and that was obviously a really upset time, but there was that discordant note where they're at the funeral, and she's like, you know, no pressure, but I'm doing a job tonight if you want to come and distract yourself. So I think that's where things start falling apart, is that Dorothy feels like she can't trust Ramona to put their relationship above her thing. But
she's not wrong.
She's not. I mean, there was... It was not good at the end, and that's part of the reason that happened. And I actually did enjoy, though, the way that the franchise, they franchised it, and they, like, expanded, and they met all those other girls, including the girl with the dog.
The dog! With the chihuahua, who she used to bring along to all of these escapades.
Yes! The chihuahua in the purse, and she's like, and they're all, like, dancing with the dog, and you're like, yeah, look at that stupid dog. I love that dog. But... That was very good. That was very fun.
And Dorothy Destiny was definitely jealous of Dawn. Now, Dawn was not a likable character. She was not supposed to be. She was this cute redhead cokehead felon who was an idiot. Like, really an idiot. but yes, Dawn wasn't, she was correct. Dawn was not a pro. But moreover, Dawn was like the target of Ramona's affections at that time, you know. Whether that was real or whether that was Ramona's way of keeping Dawn on a leash, no one knows. No one will ever know. But definitely Destiny's view of it was that, yeah, she's an idiot. Yeah, she's probably putting us in danger. But yeah, this is Ramona's new pet, and I'm not okay with that.
No, she was not happy with that at all. And she was, I think part of that issue with Dawn is like, she was like, we are not in a good place right now. Like, we are not safe. We are not making the type of decisions I want us to be making. It's hard for us to get our friends and our coworkers to go on dinners and go on stuff with these men, because we're not in the club. We're at their homes or apartments. And then bringing in Dawn was Ramona's way to try and get around that. So it's not only like Dawn is not professional. She has issues. She eventually ratted them out. It's like, the way that I felt was Destiny looking at Dawn and seeing like, okay, not only am I jealous of the relationship where you're treating her like that she's this cute kind of new daughter figure, but I'm also upset that you continue to bring in people when this is not the actual issue. You're continuing to prioritize the profits over making sure that we're all okay. So, yep. Although they did make a lot of money. That was kind of fun, how much money they were like, buy shit.
Yeah. Well, as someone who is frugal by nature, definitely like they would go from the very, very low to the very, very high. And in my head, I would be like, for God's sake, stop buying chinchilla fur coats. Go put away some money for a future date. You're so concerned about your kids' futures and not having a babysitter. Please put away some money. But that was not that lifestyle.
But it was so fun watching, like, especially the 2007 clothing, which is far enough back that I was like, oh, yeah, that was what we were wearing in 2007. Yes. We did all have skinny eyebrows. What a time. So that was a lot of fun.
It was placed very well. I remember 2007, and yeah, the whole stroll down memory lane, and then sort of the trend, the juxtaposition between, you know, 2007 Dorothy and 2015 or 14 Dorothy on that white couch, wearing a little pantsuit with like a rigidly cut haircut. You're like, oh yeah, you knew right from the beginning that this was going to go in the I'm not that girl anymore story, but that's not entirely true.
No. But this is also the movie I realized, I was initially going to say this is the first movie that we've watched or thing that we've watched where I was actually knitting when it, during the time period it was set. And then I realized this is the first movie that we've watched that I was alive during the first time period that we set. I was like, that's less helpful. I was like, yeah. Like, I learned to knit in 2006. So, 2006. So I was like, oh yeah, 2007. And I think if I were to knit anything inspired by this movie, I would probably knit a fun fur scarf. Not because it was inspired by this movie, but like that was what we were knitting in 2000, at least what I was knitting. Because as a baby knitter who didn't know anything, I was like, it's so soft and so fuzzy. And then I knit like three of these and I was like, this is an awful experience. I can't figure it out.
Yeah, no, that would have been, yes, that would have been a perfect inspired by this movie. I think if I were to knit anything inspired by this movie, not that I ever would because I don't wear these things, I would probably either knit a ripple bralette or those ruffled booty shorts.
Oh yeah. The ones we were talking about the other day. That like you're like, you can't wear that to bed. That's gonna fall right off.
Yeah. You can't wear that to bed. You can't wear it anywhere, but it's super cute and super sexy. And this would be one of those just for you things. You would knit it because you wanted it and you wanted to wear it and it's completely impractical.
Yeah. You're like, nope, I can't go anywhere in this, but look how cute it is.
Exactly.
The costumes were a lot of fun.
Yes. The costumes were fun. I mean, I gotta say, Jennifer Lopez, she is gorgeous. It is ridiculous how attractive she was in
she's
that movie.
So hot in this movie. I was just like, how? You're 50. How are you like? I was like Googling her the other day and I'd be like, how's JLo like riding out quarantine? What's she up to? And she had posted like a really hot picture of herself in like this high riding bathing suit. I'm like, JLo, keeping it tight. And I was
right?
Like, yeah. I was like, whoever is also responsible for her dermatological regime and like whatever work she's had done, I'm like, they're doing excellent. Her like face is beautiful and smooth and just like no pores. And I was like, oh, looks beautiful.
Yeah. No, she definitely has, I don't know if it's the lighting or what, but she definitely had a halo effect going on her throughout the entire movie. And I was so there for it. Like,
she was beautiful.
Yeah. You could watch that movie with the sound off just for J-Lo, I think.
Oh, yeah. No, she was great. Constance Wu was also very pretty. But, like, I think her prettiness was in a deliberate way, like, a lot more approachable. Mm-hmm. You're like, yeah. Like, I could see why a dude at a bar would be like, you have great handwriting because he's awkward and doesn't understand how this works. Like,
God, I forgot like, about that.
Yeah. And then she, like, parlays that into a computer. I'm like, good job, Dorothy. Yeah. But you would like, you would now go to J-Lo in a bar and be like, your handwriting looks great, because she'd just like look at you like, why are you talking to me, lowly peon? Actually, right. Well, if you had enough money, she wouldn't look at you like that. But that would be
there definitely was the whole, I always wonder in these movies, and I always wonder if this happens in real life, where these completely like nothing guys are so into all of these women hanging off of them, and never for a moment does it seem that they think there's something strange about this. Always.
They do that montage in the bar where everybody like walks up to different men. I think there was only like, at least in the montage, there's only like two or three men who are like, oh, run away.
Yeah.
And like most of them are just like, yeah, it makes sense that these four gorgeous quote unquote sisters would really want to hang out with me. And you're like, no, sir. Does it?
Yeah, does right. It? Exactly.
Yeah. And also Kiki Palmer being like, different mom, same dad was also very funny.
You were like,
yeah. All right. Okay, cool. So that was, she just had so many like a great little line that she slipped in there.
Yeah. So,
what a movie.
It was a great choice. And I am thorough, just like the other recommendations you've made, I am very glad you recommended it, because like I said, I would never have watched it in a million years, and I thoroughly enjoyed it. It was totally worth the price of the rental.
No, I bought the DVD. So that was what I was like. I was like, I want this, because I streamed it on, I had like a trial version somewhere, and I like streamed it. I was like, okay, I will pay money to own this so that if it ever goes anywhere, I still have the DVD. So wrapping up, when you think about the combination of, well, I think we've both discussed the issues that we had with our projects actually making it. But I have to say, when I was knitting Spooky Season, the bottom is just ribbing. Mm-hmm. So like it was the wrong size. Mm-hmm. It would have been a baby hat. Mm-hmm. But the project itself was not a bad combination because it's just, you know, 3x2 ribbing and you're just like going along, motoring along. So I was happy with that. So how was the, when you eventually switched over to the shawl, did that work?
When I eventually switched over to the shawl, it worked. I think my thing with the provisional cast on was that I had already finished the chain for the provisional cast on. So I was just knitting into the loops and that should have been easy. But I couldn't pull my eyes off the screen for long enough to like look into the loops to do the bloody provisional cast on. Whereas with the Jane Jacobs shawl, I know that pattern by heart. I don't even have to look while I'm, it's mosaic knitting. I don't even have to look while I'm doing it. And even still, I still managed to make a mistake or two because I was so involved in the movie. And that doesn't really happen to me that often with movies. So the Jane Jacobs shawl was a good project because I already knew the pattern. If I had been starting it out, I think I would have been in trouble.
Yeah, no, this is a, I think what the final thought is that is this is a very intriguing movie that both of us were like, okay, I need to like stockinette ribbing something you've already memorized, but not necessarily something more difficult. So
yeah,
I'm glad that it went well. I'm glad that we picked this movie out because yeah, it was very funny that your mother was like, no, this movie's awful, because all my friends who saw it were like, this is the best movie ever. So
yeah, my Catholic conservative 70s 8-year-old mother was not a fan.
I could see that. I could see that. Okay. So next month, we'll be watching The Falcon and the Winter Soldier from Marvel, which I'm very excited about. And I did preemptively read some Bucky, Steve, Sam fanfic to be like, I'm so excited that this is coming out.
That's a good idea. I may do that as well.
Send you links. I'll send you my favorite one, awesome. Which you probably already read because it's pretty popular, but you know what? I'll send it to you anyways. So thanks very much. And we'll talk to you next month. Bye.
Bye.